He seems like he's a little bit Irish. And the Irish have some wonderful sayings. Some of them blessings, some of them not so much. A couple of the Irish blessings. It says, may love and laughter light your days and warm your heart and your home. May good and faithful friends be yours wherever you roam. There are good ships and there are wood ships, ships that sail the seas, but the best ships are friendships. May they always be, and may the hinges of your friendship never get rusty. Profound blessings like that. Well, how about this one? As you slide down the banister of life, may the splinters be pointed in the wrong direction. May your trouble be as few and as far apart as your grandmother's teeth. You know, I mean, they had some profound. And of course, I'm sure we've all heard this one. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. The rains fall soft upon your fields until we meet again. May God hold you in the palm of his hand. Always remember to forget the things that made you sad. But never forget to remember the things that made you glad. Irish people are cool people. I like Irish people. I am part Irish and part about a dozen other things. I'm a mutt, I'll admit it. Here's one. May your glass be ever full. May the roof over your head always be strong. And may you be in heaven a half an hour before the devil knows you're gone. My wife asked me, as she always does, what are you going to be speaking on? Or what are you going to speak about? I said, about 30 minutes. She hates it when I tell her that. I said, I'm going to talk about fear. She said, you're not including me in that, are you? I said, no, fear not. We have a unspoken kind of rule that when you use a family member in a message, you have to pay them money. So we try not to do that too often. But we want to talk about fear and different kinds of fear, obviously the fear of the Lord, just fear. Psalms 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fears him, and he rescues them. These are all in the NIV. Also, Proverbs 1, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I thought, what is the fear of the Lord? What is the fear of the Lord? Am I scared of the Lord? Are you afraid of the Lord? What is the fear of the Lord? Fear of the Lord means to be in reverent awe of his holiness, to give him complete reverence, and to honor him as God, as the God of great glory, majesty, purity, and power. Okay, what's worldly fear mean? What's the other fear mean? That mainly means dread or terror. You ever had that kind of fear? I used to have a terrible fear of crawdads. As Carol says, what in the world are you talking about? Well, I'll tell you what happened. My dad wasn't much of a fisherman, but my grandpa did ever on occasion, and he was out with one of his brothers or cousins, and they were fishing, and he came back with a little paper cup full of crawdads. Never seen them before. I asked him, I said, what are those? He said, crawdads. I said, what's a crawdad? He said, well, look inside. And he put it right up to my face. At which time one reached up and pinched me right on the end of the nose. I think I ran about 2 or 3 blocks before they caught me. Didn't care for a little fear of crawdads. As I got a little bit older, we all had to learn how to swim. So they, when I got old enough, sent me for my swimming lessons down at the local YMCA. And, you know, starting off, it was fine. They get you in the shallow end. They show you this, that, and the other thing. But when it came to the part where you had to jump off the board into the deep end, I'm not going to do it. Sorry, not going to do it. Even though the instructor was a rather attractive young lady, no, not going. You went, and she tried even to push me into the pool. I said, not going. And I remember the classes were like there was one like every third day or something. And I still had a couple classes to go, and I ran out of there. And the next 2 times I had to take the lesson, I just kind of wandered around town and pretended I was scared to death of the deep end. Well, I guess they finally figured it out. So they sent me to another class, which had a male teacher. And we did fine until the part where we got on that board. I said, no, not doing it. Nope. Nope. He said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. So I'm going to give you this end of this rope, and I'm going to hold the other end of the rope. You hang on tight. When you jump in, I promise I will pull you to the side. Well, I don't know. He said, really, when I count to 3, we'll do this. I don't know. Well, about 1.5, he yanked on that rope and pulled me off the board. And I swam across the pool. Yay, I made it. Those are worldly fears. I still have a fear of heights. Don't like high places. Terry and I went to Royal Gorge on our honeymoon. Beautiful place. I stood up by this solid rock wall as she wandered out in the middle of this thing and looking out, I can't do it. We have fears. Phobias. Another fear that I grew up with and I still have, which is a good fear, I think, I have a fear of breaking the rules. I do most of my day they work behind the wheel of a vehicle driving. Almost 67, and I'm still almost afraid to break the speed limit. Call me a wimp, I don't know. It's just always been a fear. I didn't want to break the rules. Terry shaking her head. Mostly I don't break the speed limit. As a teenager driving a girl around, they would say, why are you driving so slow? Because if I go fast, I get in trouble. I just don't like breaking the rules. That's a fear. I've had a fear all my life of standing up in front of people and talking. I can play music. That was easy. I started young, and I was always with a group, so you could hide. God has a way of changing the script, doesn't he? I found a little article by a guy named Micah Maddox. The 7 verses that can encourage us to have faith over fear. Faith will overcome fear every time. It starts off with Deuteronomy, 3rd chapter, And 22nd verse, it says, you must not fear them, for the Lord your God himself fights for you. This verse was given to Israel when they needed to remember the truth. Moses knew they would face enemies. He also knew God would win the battle. We too face enemies. Sometimes we are even our worst enemy because we won't get out of the way and let God do it. When we get out of the way, we choose faith over fear. And we watch God fight the battle. It's not about giving up. It's about turning over control to the one who can control it, not us. We can't win without his help. That's number one. Number two, Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. It says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. God goes with you. He will not leave you, nor he will not forsake you. See, Moses in his later years was about to hand over his leadership to Joshua. And as he prepares for the transition, he declares truth about who God is over the people, reminding them success is not about human leadership. Men will come and go. Men will let you down. Men will leave. God never fails. We trust God's presence over man's presence. We can make it through the ebbs and flows of leadership changes, family dysfunction, other struggles, knowing that God is our never-changing leader. That's where our faith finds focus. That's number two. Number three, Psalm 34, verse 4. It said, I sought the Lord and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Faith over fears, that's a decision we have to make when the struggle hits. When we were out there on that bridge, I should have just knew God was going to protect me. And Terry would catch me if I fell. Maybe, she said. In seeking the Lord, knowing that he hears and trusts us, he'll deliver the help that we need. We can't forget that he's the deliverer. So when we wrestle with trying to figure things out on our own, it doesn't work out that well, does it? Until you turn it over to God. Then we have Psalm 56, verse 3. Says, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In that moment of fear, if we can only remember, we trust in him. It kind of reminds me of the little boy, 3 or 4 years old, kind of maybe Clint size. Where is Clint? I miss Clint. He's playing in the kitchen. Mom's fixing supper, and it's late one evening, and his mom said, Johnny, can you do me a favor? Can you please go out in the back porch and get me the broom? Johnny says, oh, no, no, I can't do that. It's dark out there. Oh, don't be ridiculous, Johnny. Just go out back porch and get me the broom. No, Mom, I'm afraid. It's dark. Johnny. Always remember, Jesus is with you. Now go out and get me the broom. To which Johnny walks to the back door, opens the back door, peers into the darkness, and with a small voice says, Jesus, would you hand me the broom, please? We all have to have that childhood innocence. We have to believe he will figure it out, and he will. Of course, we can't forget 23rd Psalm. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even in the dark. Even in the dark, he's there. Number 6 is Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's really a kind of a beautiful picture, God's hand in hand with you. We talk about having faith in God and in God's hand in each situation. There's an instruction that precedes that idea of trust. Grab God by the hand, and when you do so, fear not. The answer is focusing on him. Fear not. How do we fear not when everything around us might follow up with questions, fears? You simply focus your heart on Christ, on God. On the minds that are true about God and what is about God's promises that are there for you and me. That's all we have to focus on. He'll continually stretch out his hand for yours. You just reach out, take it. He's always there. The last one is Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, for I will help you. Fear isn't something that's going to go away anytime soon. It's a way the enemy can get under your skin. I have a phobia about phone calls. They're hard for me to make. That's my job. I have to force myself to do my job, to call people. And it's just a phobia. And I know it's a tool of the enemy to keep me from doing what I need to do. I have a phobia about talking in front of people. No, I don't stand up here and picture everybody naked. I don't do that. Somebody actually gave me that advice one time. I thought, boy, now that'll just mess up your mind. Forever. God offers his word. It's there. I can read it 1,000 times and it's new every time I read it. I don't understand it. I can't understand it. You can't understand it. God has to speak it to you before you understand it. He has to give you the knowledge. You have to summon the courage, knowing he's here, he's holding your hand. To do what he asked you to do. God has something planned for this place. Something extraordinary. He told me that. He told me that there's a few people here that are going to have a real big part in it. And his glory is going to be manifest like we've never seen before. We have to come expecting every day. Every day. There are some days I come here and I don't want to play my violin. There are some days I get up and I don't want to come. That's just the enemy keeping me from it. But I feel more at home here than any place other than home. One of those fears is saying something that's going to keep me and get me in trouble, and I'm about to go there. St. Patrick's Day. A beautiful holiday that they made into a drinking holiday. They seem to do that a lot. I've never been a drinker. I will say Guinness is not a bad, tasty little beverage, but you won't find any in my house. I gave it all to my son. I made him take it home. No, I'm just kidding. But the Irish, I think they knew, wasn't all about drinking. They are so big into fellowship, which is what we are. We need to be. It's another one of these blessings, is to make those who love us, and those who don't love us, may God turn their hearts. And if he doesn't turn their hearts, may he turn their ankles so we can spot them when they limp. May your friendships you make be those which endure. All of your gray clouds be small ones for sure. And trusting in him to whom we all pray, may a song fill your heart every step of the way. One more. May God give you for every storm a rainbow. For every tear, a smile. For every care, a promise. A blessing in each trial. And for every problem life sends, a faithful friend to share. For every sigh, a sweet song. And an answer to every prayer. Would you pray with me today? Father God, we thank you for who you made us to be. We thank you for who we are in you. We thank you for the friends that you have brought in our path and those that we have not met as of yet. You give us the courage to reach out to those who need your touch. You give us the wisdom to pray, the wisdom to lead, the wisdom to step back and let you do your work. Teach us when to move forward and when to get out of your way. Lord, thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for the rain and the rainbow you send after. Thank you for the blessings, for the songs. Thank you for your Son, who resides in each one of us. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we give you the glory. And all your children said, amen.